Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Armchair GMs. I'm your host, Tommy Tallarino, and alongside me today on this fantastic Friday is the one and only Jordan Navarro. Jordan, how you doing today?
Doing fantastic, Tommy. Before we start this episode, I want to say I watched your cooking show.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
It was fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm not a big fan of chicken riggies myself, you know. I personally, not a huge fan.
Okay.
But I would try some of yours, Americ's, man. They look delicious.
Have you only had it in the dining hall?
Yes, to be fair.
Okay, so yeah, you really haven't had the Riggies experience. I'm gonna be honest.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. But you know, we'll send you a care package. I don't know how fresh it'll be.
I'd love that.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it fresh. We'll put it in like bucket of advice for you, but we'll try. We'll try our best. But we got some business to do in the East in the NFL world today. We got AFC East, kind of like team outlooks for this offseason so far, who they signed, who they lost, stuff like that for the AFC East and NFC East. I'd say there's been a lot of trades for both these teams in the East. And then there's been some signings. There's been a lot of key losses for some teams in the East. But I think I want to say the landscape's not changed for both these divisions, but there's definitely some key gains.
There's a big white elephant in the AFC East that hasn't come out of the darkness yet. And we're waiting on it to
see what happens.
You know, yeah. Starting with the contenders, you have the first team on this list is Buffalo.
Yep. I mean, I feel like you got to start with them.
You're a little bit more connected, man, so I want you to take it away. You know, you butter me up and tell me what's going on, and I guess take it from there.
If you really want me to. You know, going in, you know, they're kind of low in the cap space. They owed around they're in minus 18 million, almost 19 million. They had about an average amount of picks. First pick's the 27th pick, 59, 91, 130, 137, 205. But going in, they needed, I don't want to say a star running back, but they needed a one running back because their problem last year was it was kind of running back by committee, but even Josh Allen was still the best runner on the team. So they needed someone to take over that role. Safety was kind of a need for the team as well. You know, Micah Hyde was out all year, but they should be getting him back. They didn't know if Poyer would re-sign or not. He ends up re-signing. But they are both up there in age. So they did sign some people, and they'll probably get some people in the draft. Corner was also a need for this team. The defensive back room was not that great, and they did need some help on the interior offensive line, and they got it. You know, they added Connor McGovern from the Cowboys, who's always been a solid lineman. He's always done a good job in Dallas. He made a name for himself there on that Dallas line at times. They went up and grabbed Damian Harris from the New England Patriots. That one was a heartbreaker just because, you know, you know this very well. I was a big Damian Harris fan. It was a sickness, you'd say at times.
Yeah, and you know, I think Bills fans won't really, or not Bills fans, Patriots fans won't realize the impact until he leaves, because I think everyone's on this Ramondre Stevenson hype train. But when Damian Harris was healthy, he was taking equal amount of snaps away from Ramondre Stevenson, whether that's, you know, by design or whatnot. It's not like it was hurting them. You know, I know Bill Belichick likes to run committee, but it was I don't want to say it's necessary because both of them could be bell cows. It was a luxury. And Damian Harris is a very good running back, very solid running back. I think he'll fit really well with James Cook and Nyheim Hines in that backfield. But, you know, the Patriots still have Ramondre Stevenson, so.
He's got a nose for the end zone, and I think that's going to be good for Buffalo because it gives less goal line work for Josh Allen, less of a chance for him to get injured. And I think, you know, I still think it'll probably be 50-50 with him and Cook. I think you're going to see Cook more in the pass game because Harris isn't as great in the pass game, but he's strong. He's a strong runner. They also added This one was a couple days ago. Taylor Rapp from the Rams. I think that was a good upgrade at, or good, yeah, upgrade at safety, I'd say. He comes in. He did a really good job in L.A. A couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl. And they get Jordan Phillips, D-end. Key losses, I got two for him. You know, they lost Edmonds to Chicago. Huge deal for Edmonds. And I'm counting Singletary as a key loss just because, you know, he was there for, I believe, 4 years, was it? And he did at times look really good. He just, I felt like, could never get in that flow of, like, establishing himself as that RB1 for the team.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I mean, well, first I'll ask you, how do you feel about their offseason thus far? Obviously, the draft, and the draft is a huge thing. The offseason is, like, you know, the second main part of it. So it's not over, and we'll give offseason grades at the end after the draft, going into training camp. But so far, how do you feel about what the Bills have done? Assuming that the Jets are going to be better, Miami's going to be better, New England's going to be better by subtraction of not having Matt Patricia call plays.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they kind of patchworked a little bit. You know, they're just trying to set up to be a team like they were last year. They need receiver help still. I get that they added some depth to it and they released Isaiah McKenzie, but I still think you need that too. And maybe they get that through the draft in the later rounds. Maybe they go out and trade for DeAndre Hopkins, who we'll talk about later. But Gabe Davis as your wide receiver too will not cut it. I mean, I think it showed in the season. Gabe Davis had a really good game against Cincinnati. But, I mean, Cincinnati still steamrolled them. So I think you do need that just because it takes some pressure off Stephon Diggs as well. Stephon Diggs is probably – he's going to get double-teamed almost every game. And when you have someone other than Gabe Davis, we'll say I'll go Jordan Addison instead of DeAndre Hopkins because Hopkins, there's a lot of things, you know, with the contract and stuff. Okay, Addison, he's probably a little bit bigger of a threat, so you're not going to be able to double as Stephon Diggs as much because Addison's probably, you know, he's going to come up with bigger plays. So I think they did a good job kind of patchworking. But I still think, you know, the AFC East at times was really close throughout the year. I still think it's like that, where they have the edge, but it's not by a lot still.
I completely agree with you, and I'm glad you brought up the word patchwork. That's exactly what this looked like to me. And I think this is the offseason. You talk about coaching changes and some of the guys that are on the hot seat. I don't ever see Sean McDermott's name brought up. He is my number one coach on the hot seat. He has shown in his entire tenure he hasn't been able to build an offensive line. He hasn't. I like that Connor McGovern, you know, he's a solid piece. They can obviously still draft guys. Again, the draft has still not happened. We have to look at the offseason as holistically as possible, and we'll do that after the draft. But for right now, Connor McGovern being your only add to this offensive line, to put it frankly, is not good. The offensive line is not that great. It's not really a strength of the team. It looks better. And again, sacks, I think, are more of a QB stat than they are an offensive line stat. Josh Allen does run into pressure sometimes. That's fine. Tommy, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Both of us agree. You're not even a Bills fan, and you agree without bias. You cannot have Josh Allen play like Superman. It's unfair to him, and it's unfair to the organization. He should not have to every single game put the team on his back. Again, he's going to get paid like that. That's fine. That's fine. I want him to play his best. He's never going to, you know, just be an average quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he should not have to make everything about that offense work. And right now, he is the only thing that makes that offense work. You can come in and bring Chad Henne, who's retired. You could bring him in. That offense would be terrible. I don't care that you have Stephon Diggs and he gets open all the time. You have no run game to get an average quarterback started. Josh Allen has to do that. And Sean McDermott came out a couple days ago and said he wants Josh Allen to stop taking these big hits and stop running the safeties and the DBs over. I completely agree with that. Josh Allen needs to play safer. But you have to give him weapons, give him an actual run game, give him a better O-line than what you have to enable that. Because right now, when Josh Allen isn't running around, looking like Superman, making incredible plays. Your offense stinks. It stinks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of similarities between Cam Newton and Carolina right now with Josh Allen. I'm not saying that they play alike. I mean, Josh Allen's got a way better arm than Cam Newton. But when he's taking all these hits years after years, his shoulders aren't going to last. That was the problem with Cam Newton. His shoulders are gone. We talked about it last episode when we talked about the 32 quarterbacks better than him. But it's – like you said, the offensive line needs work. And I completely agree with you about McDermott. I think it's Super Bowl or bust with him this year.
Yeah,
because there's talent. It's just you have to get past these
– And here's the thing.
I don't want to say juggernauts, but –
No, and it shouldn't. You shouldn't look at it that way. We shouldn't be looking at Patrick Mahomes and saying, "Oh my God, how do we beat him?" Or looking at Joe Burrow and saying, "Oh my God, how do we beat him?" You have Josh freaking Allen, who before this season was the bona fide. He was number two. He was. Some people were saying he was better than Mahomes. Now he's three. Sometimes people put him four behind Herbert. Some people, now that Aaron Rodgers might be going to the Jets, want to say Aaron Rodgers is going to come back, have a better season. He might be five. Right? That's where he slid. Yeah. He's now in the mix. He's no longer in his own tier. I think that's fair with how good those quarterbacks are. That's fine. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Josh Allen is good enough to beat Patrick Mahomes. I saw him in the playoffs have him beat. 13 seconds left. You had them beat. You had him beat. You had the boogeyman put to bed. You couldn't. 13 seconds, you let him drive down the field and win the game. That's not Josh Allen's fault.
Overtime.
Yeah, that's not Josh Allen's fault that his defense couldn't stop him. So I'm tired of all the responsibility of this organization being put on Josh Allen. Where is this Sean McDermott responsibility? Because this defense, Tommy, is only getting a year older. Yeah, every year that we keep saying, this team is good, this team is good, this team is Super Bowl contender, we get a year older. Now your safety duo, which was the best in the NFL, is on their last legs. You have them for maybe another season or two of being elite. Jordan Poirier is already showing signs of seriously aging. He came back on a deal that I was shocked that he even signed. It was super cheap for a player of his caliber. That shows me that the Bills don't think he has that much left. So I like what they did. Adding Damien Harris is fine. Jordan Phillips is a good rotational guy. Your defense is still good, but Tommy, we saw the desperation already. They gave the farm to Von Miller to stop two guys. Two. To stop Joe Burrow and to stop Patrick Mahomes. And now Von Miller's coming off another serious injury. He's a year older. This offense hasn't been upgraded at all. And we just saw it. When Josh Allen's not playing like Superman, it's not very good. It's a fine offense, but it's not elite.
Doesn't move as well down the field.
No.
It relies on the big play.
We need the offensive line to be better. We need the run game to be established. Josh Allen is fantastic. He's phenomenal. He's an otherworldly talent. But let's not have to rely on that to make it move. Look at what Kansas City just did. That's the team you're trying to beat. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. And their whole division loaded up. And people said, oh, Chiefs, third place. Chiefs, there might be a wild card. The division was over by Thanksgiving. Patrick Mahomes should win an MVP. Won an MVP. Easily. Without Tyreek Hill. Was better without Tyreek Hill.
Had his best season, yeah.
You know why? Because Andy Reid's offensive system allowed him to do that. They got players the ball, and Patrick Mahomes is amazing. I don't see why Josh Allen can't do that. And he still has Stephon Diggs, just like Mahomes still has Kelsey. Where's the rest of the system is what I'm asking. And I think that's what all Bills fans should be asking. I know that's what you're asking. Where's the rest? Why is it just Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and that should be enough? Where is the rest of the system? Where is the creativity? Where's the run game? Even though Kansas City doesn't have that great of a run game, but they figured it out.
And
I'm not impressed.
I'm kind of glad you're bringing up Diggs, too, because, you know, he wasn't happy with how the way the season ended last year. Who knows, after this year, they don't get it done, he could be like, yeah, I'm out of here. I don't want to do this every year where we get to the playoffs and we can't get over the hump.
So, you know, and the thing is, if you want to win, last year was probably the year to get the Chiefs, if we're being honest, because I think the Chiefs were probably at a wide receiver in the first round. I think they like Tony. I think Tony has a lot of talent. I think Sky Moore has a lot of talent. Travis Kelce's still the best tight end in football right now in terms of, you know, being that elite down the field threat. They're only going to get better. They're only going to keep developing. But last year was the year to get them. This year, you can still get them maybe, but you need to go all in. Now is the time, Sean McDermott. We can't keep playing this. We're going to keep the same core. Gabe Davis isn't developing anymore, okay? I'm sorry to tell you. Gabe Davis is who he is. He's a fine wide receiver. Fine. He's not a good wide receiver, too. Not when I'm trying to beat Kansas City. Not when I am offensively inept and creating a modern offensive scheme, unless Josh Allen's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Go get DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, everyone right now with Hopkins is hung up on the contract just how much it is, but we'll get to that later. I think we nailed everything on Buffalo. I don't think there's that much more to talk about with Buffalo. No. We brought up all the points. We'll go down to who they played in the wild card. Miami Dolphins, you know, other than the Ramsey move, I kind of feel like they've had a quiet offseason. But I think that's because they feel like they don't need to do much. I don't think they need to do much on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, there's still work need to be done. They'll probably do it through the draft. But the key signing or trade was Jalen Ramsey, and we've talked about this before. They got for a bag of chips. I mean,
yeah, and you said they were quiet. I completely agree. I think they didn't need to do a whole lot, and I think they made, which it's been talked about a lot, but it's still underrated in my opinion. People aren't really fully realizing the impact of Vic Fangio. This guy is a great coordinator. He might be the best defensive coordinator in the NFL, right? People love that reputation. They've given him that reputation. I think he's amazing. Their defense is going to be better just because of that. They're going to get a full year of Bradley Chubb. They have Jalen Ramsey now. I think their defense is going to be infinitely better. They haven't lost any offensive pieces outside of Mike Gesicki, who already wasn't getting looks in this offense because it's not what Mike McDaniels wants to do. So I think they're quiet because they understand where they're at. I think the only move that they could potentially do is giving Tua an extension, and I don't think they're going to do that because they want to see if he can stay healthy. And obviously, you know, it's a fluid situation at their quarterback. They're fine with Tua. They think Tua can run this offense. I've seen him run the offense. And they think they can have a great offense with Tua at quarterback. But if he can't stay healthy, they're perfectly fine with moving off of him. I think that's the way it should be. But they brought back Mostert. They brought back Jeff Wilson. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill still there. I would like to go see them pick up maybe a bigger-bodied wide receiver to add to those two. And I think tight end's a position they can get away with just box of scraps there, to be honest. And maybe shore up the offensive line just a little bit, you know, some depth signings. But overall, I think they haven't overmanaged, which I think is good. They've done what they've needed to do. And I think in the draft, you could see them pick up a day two guy at running back. Wilson and Mostert are both 30, so pick up a day two guy. Maybe Jahmyr Gibbs is there at 51. That would be a match made in heaven. You know, just things like that. But I think they've been quiet, and I think it's been good that they've been quiet for the most part.
Yeah, and I was kind of shocked with the Ramsey trade because, I was like, wow, that's a big deal. Because now you've got Ramsey and Xavier Howard. Their secondary was banged up. That's going to add plethora to it. The two biggest needs for this team, I thought, were the offensive line as a whole. Didn't matter interior or exterior. Just go out and try to bolster it up a little bit. And then I still think the linebacker play outside of Chubb can be worked on through the draft, like you said. And I'm glad you brought up a running back. I definitely could see them drafting a running back in the later rounds just because, like you said, that Mostert and Wilson are old, but they're also not those kind of premier backs that you, unless you run in the Mike McDaniel system, that you're going out and looking for.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they, like you said, they've done a really good job because, You know, coming in, they were one of the lowest ranked in cap space, so they couldn't really do much. But they're not losing people as well. So as long as they're not losing the key people, I think they're fine.
They haven't made it drama-filled. That's what I like. They quietly picked up Tua's fifth-year extension, you know, just to let him know, hey, you know, whenever, you know, you're the guy. You know, they're still looking. I'm sure if Lamar Jackson is, like, truly available and they can get him for a reasonable deal or whatever, they'll do it. You know, they're always going to be looking to add an elite, elite quarterback. That's fine. But I think they also have faith that Tua can get to that echelon of running this offense at an elite level, and they're fine with going into the season with Tua, unless a better option really, you know, pops up and lands in their lap. And I think that's the perfect way to manage this, because I don't think Tua's a bad quarterback. I think he can't stay healthy for sure, but I think he can run the system pretty well. I saw him run the system pretty well up until the first concussion. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a whole other situation. They're figuring it out as the season goes on. Anything else you want to add?
One of the key additions was Mike White to the team,
and I think yes, that Mike was White, really, quarterback,
a really low key signing because he's a gunslinger. I mean, he's not phenomenal, but if he came in under the Mike McDaniel system, I think he could keep him afloat much better than Teddy Bridgewater could.
They had to
play Skylar Thompson again. I should think Mike White is, you know, if Tua does go down, he can still get this team to the playoffs, and the playoff game that he plays in won't be as bad as it was.
We've seen him air it out, and he's had some good games in New York.
Yeah. Much worse offensive system.
Yeah. So I totally forgot about that just because – you know, we always think of just Tua. But if Tua does go down, there's a solid option right there. Anything else you want to add for Miami?
Nope. Let's move on to the your team. You can take it away.
I was going to say, you want to go Jets or New England next?
Take it away.
All right. So we'll talk about New England Patriots. What was it, 8-9 last year? Yeah, so, I mean, that's probably going to be the new regular for this team, 8-9 or 9-8. They came in the offseason, fifth-best cap space. I will say they used their cap space, and they still have some left over, but they really needed an offensive line. They needed tackles. The interior linemen were really good, I thought, last year. They just couldn't stay healthy at times. Wide receiver room. I mean, we've been talking about this for 2 years now. They never had a wide receiver one, and they still don't have a wide receiver one, really. Linebacker play was kind of a downgrade compared to past years, but they re-signed their guys and are trying to work them in with the system. And the defensive back room was a little weak, but the big signing for them, for the wide receiver room, was Juju Smith-Schuster, which – I'm not going to say it's a bad signing, but I don't think it's a great signing. It's somewhere in the middle. They signed him, let Jacoby Myers walk. I believe they both got the same deal. But I will say I think there's a little bit higher ceiling with Juju Smith just because I think Jacoby Myers, he's not a good touchdown scorer. He's a great receiver. He's a great route runner, but he can never find the end zone, and I think that's what kind of held him back in New England. They signed Mike Gesicki at tight end, so they have Gesicki and Hunter Henry now, both good receiving tight ends. They trade Jonnu Smith for, I believe, like a seventh-round pick. They added Calvin Anderson as tackle and Riley Reiff as tackles. You know, anything I think will be better than last year. Their tackles did not look good in the big games. They signed James Robinson as Damian Harris's replacement. Which I like James Robinson. You know, he had a great year in Jacksonville. Wasn't really used much with the Jets, but I believe he's a really good receiving back, and I think he can get things going in New England, kind of a spark plug and a check down guy, which whether it be Bailey Zappe or Mac Jones, either one of them I think will do good with the running back room now. You know, they lost Harris, they lost Jacoby Myers, they lost Jonnu Smith. And they lost the wide receiver one from last year for most games, Nelson Agholor. He goes to Baltimore. But I do think, you know, they did draft Tyquan Thornton last year. I think they're going to draft another guy. I don't know which round yet in this draft. So I think their wide receiver room, I think, has potential to be better, especially if they go out and trade for DeAndre Hopkins, which I think they need to do, because I think if you don't get a trade done, he's on his way to Buffalo. And that's – they couldn't beat Buffalo this year. When DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs are not beating Buffalo for next year and maybe the year after that, for however long that DeAndre Hopkins contract is. Yeah, I mean, it's just – for me, we talk about patchwork for the Bills. I think this Patriots offseason is a patchwork just to go 10-7 at best. So
I'll tell you what this offseason felt like for the Patriots as a third party. Pain. It felt like turning your shirt inside out.
Yeah.
The biggest addition to this entire team, and you'll agree with me, is Matt Patricia not calling plays anymore and getting an actual offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, who people are going to hate. But Bill O'Brien's been a fine OC. He's been a fine coach in general. He's a terrible general manager, but he's been a fine coach. I think Bill O'Brien with Mac Jones, they're going to work very well together. And I think this offense is going to be a whole lot better just because of that. I like the James Robinson signing. But come on now. Jonnu Smith to Mike Gesicki. It's the same damn thing. You lost Nelson Aguilar. We could have re-signed him and I wouldn't have thought anything different of it. And then Myers to Juju is the most lateral move I've seen a team make all offseason. Same contract, same type of player. I probably would have preferred to just keep Jacoby Myers. At least he knows the system and he's familiar with the culture. Now you got to adapt Juju to all of that, and he's going to have an adjustment period or whatever. What New England has to do is assume Mac Jones can take another step, which I think he can. I think Mac Jones is being severely underrated. I think Mac Jones is a fine quarterback. I think he can get to the Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins level. Get him a wide receiver, please. It doesn't have to be D-Hop. I think everyone would prefer it to be D-Hop, but you are sitting there at 14 in the first round. This is prime territory to take, you know, maybe JSN slips to 14. Maybe the second guy's there. Maybe it's Zay Flowers. Maybe it's Quentin Johnston. Who knows? Take one of them. I'm not saying they'll be good. No one knows really until you play in the NFL. But at least give the guy a shot. Mac Jones rolling out with Tyquan Thornton, who I think is fine. I think he's going to end up being a fine wide receiver two in his career, maybe wide receiver three type. Give him a shot. Give him some weapons, at least. At least give him a fighting chance, right? Defensively, again, I won't bet against Bill Belichick. It was kind of weird to see the defense struggle like they did, but you lost some linebackers. I think Joey Porter Jr. at 14 also makes a lot of sense. Your guys' corners are very small, and Joey Porter, he's like the prototypical shutdown guy, 6'2", long arms. Could definitely see that. But it's either got to be a lockdown DB or it's got to be a wide receiver at 14.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I did like the Jonathan Jones re-signing, though, just because I think he fits the system really well. I thought they got him on a relatively cheaper deal than what they were going to give him at the time. I felt like he probably could have walked like J.C. Jackson last year. But, yeah, I mean, it's – I just don't know anymore. Just because, you know, there were talks, they might go out and get Jerry Jeudy, which would be great. Him and Mac Jones played at Bama together. I think they could do really well. Then I don't think Judy's on the market now. But they need someone, like you said, because their best receiver on the team last year barely got reps in Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne's not the best receiver. He's probably a wide receiver two, wide receiver three on most teams. But him and Mac had a good connection the first year, and Bourne barely was on the field the second year. And he's probably what they needed, because outside of last year, I'd say Myers was the best receiver, and I don't think he had that great of a season. So,
yeah, like you said. It's the whole Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones thing that happened last year is really weird to me. I can understand maybe they're that, you know, close or whatever, and maybe Bailey Zappi is, you know, he's more willing to adapt to the system. But the reason Mac Jones was getting upset with the coaching staff, I don't think is anything unusual. think about where he's coming from. He's coming from Alabama. Good offensive system. Great weapons. And he was getting pissed off, rightfully so, because it was inept. It wasn't an NFL offense last year.
No.
And I don't think Bill Belichick took offense to that. I think we all know who Bill Belichick is. He doesn't want Mac Jones to be vocal and kind of out there in the media. He wants to keep stuff inside the building, and that's fine. That's fine to run it like that. That's the Patriot way. Give him a fighting chance. Go get D-Hop. Go get JSN, somebody, Judy, whoever. Give him two starting-level wide receivers. I think you get a guy, Tyquan Thornton, Juju, Gesicki, Hunter Henry, good running backs. There's decent enough weapons to evaluate him in his third or fourth season, whichever year it is. And say after this season whether we can actually get on a contending path or if this is going to be another rebuild. Because if we don't and we keep going down this path that we're going down, Tom Brady's not walking back through that door, okay? He's not. And it's unfair to assume that Mac Jones can do what Tom Brady did near the end of his career, where it's pretty much just Julian Edelman and Gronk. It's unfair. And he's not Tom Brady. And even at one point, Tom Brady got Randy Moss and had some good running backs and had Aaron Hernandez and he had Gronk. Like, get Mac Jones a guy, and then we can talk.
Get this man some help. I mean, that's all I asked for. But we nailed everything in New England. I think we talked about the Jets a lot this offseason, but we'll finish off the AFC East with them. The biggest need, that's probably the biggest need in all the NFL, they needed a quarterback coming to the offseason. Zach Wilson's just not the guy there. Shocker. I mean, he got number two pick because he made a really good throw at Pro Day, but we'll talk about that later with Pro Days. The offensive line needed help. They kind of were injured last year, and the top guys kind of couldn't do as much. They didn't have a lot of cap space, but the additions they made, they added to the offense Alan Lazard, who I thought that's a great signing for wide receiver room. Tristan Colon Castillo, center from Baltimore, and Mecole Hardman. Another receiver. I like the receiver room in Green Bay, but they can't do anything until Aaron Rodgers gets traded.
Yeah. Did you have more to add to that?
No, I was going to say, take it away.
Yeah. You signed Alan Lazard for more money than he's worth because you're getting Aaron Rodgers and he wanted to get his guy paid, whatever. Mecole Hardman, I think, is fine. Probably should have kept Elijah Moore. But they traded him, so whatever. That's fine. I'll touch on the offensive line. They do need help. Becton has to stay healthy. But across from him, I would love to see them get a guy like Broderick Jones from Georgia at 13. Someone like that, just an offensive tackle. That would be amazing. Defensively, I think they're fine. I think they could add some pieces for sure. But adding an impact guy right now doesn't really make sense. I think their defense will be fine regardless. But again, it's the elephant in the room. It's Aaron Rodgers. Reports keep saying it's going to get done. It's going to get done. They're just working on compensation. It's going to get done before the draft. We heard, I guess we'll go ahead and talk about Aaron Rodgers now just to get him out of the way. We heard it was two first, then we heard it was the 13, and then if I'm the Jets, you're desperate now. There's no other quarterbacks on the market. You've let Mike White go. Your only quarterback that's on your roster is Zach Wilson. And Robert Saleh has come out and said publicly, Zach Wilson is the QB2 this season. He said that. So if you don't get Aaron Rodgers and he retires or stays with Green Bay and holds him hostage a whole year, I'm not going to cuss, but you know what I want to say. You're screwed. You're screwed. The team doesn't want to play for Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson hasn't played well enough to deserve another shot. If you don't get Aaron Rodgers, you're screwed. Your only hope is to play Zach Wilson, hope he plays terrible enough and tank, and go get Caleb Williams or Drake May next year. Those are your options. Maybe that's the better option than getting Aaron Rodgers, but it seems like they want to win. And if you do, go get him. Green Bay's perspective, he doesn't want to play for you anymore. And you don't want him to play for you anymore. You want to move on with Jordan Love and see if you actually have something before you have to pay the guy. I understand that. Let's get this done. Why? It's not... It's fair for the Jets to say, hey, if he doesn't play, can we get some type of protections on these 24 picks? So if he doesn't, you know, he said he was 90% retired going into his darkness retreat. 90%? My brother in Christ, he'd taken the pads off, the helmet off. All he had on
was the cleats.
Socks. Yeah, the socks and the cleats. The rest of the uniform was off.
He was done. So he was out the door.
It's not unfair to them to say, hey, if he doesn't retire, can it be a third-round pick in the 2024 or something like that? I think they're going to get it done. It just makes too much sense for them not to get it done. It's so easy. These teams are just stubborn. You want to try to get one over. Neither of you have leverage. I don't know if you know that. Neither of you do. Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever Aaron Rodgers wants to do. Green Bay, you're not going to cut him and take the cap hit. So if you don't trade him, he's going to sit on your roster. And the Jets, you don't have leverage because you've publicly pretty much come out and said, we need Aaron Rodgers. And if we don't get him, we don't have a backup plan. We've let them all walk. So there's no leverage on either side. Just get the deal done.
Yeah, and that's why they've been quiet, just because of Rodgers, because they're waiting on this deal. But here's the thing. If they don't get Aaron Rodgers, they're screwed in this division. They really are, because – Miami, I think, is going to steamroll them. Buffalo is going to steamroll them. I don't care if Zach Wilson beat them last year. It's not going to happen again, I don't think. New England has their number. They haven't beat New England since 2015, I want to say. So that right there is, what, 8 losses?
Yeah.
It's they need Rodgers. Yeah, 6. But they need Rodgers if they want to make any impact in the division this year.
And even with Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's going to be a close division still, but it gives you the best chance to actually win. And the thing is, they're trying to protect themselves from him only playing one season, which I think is honestly the most likely outcome still. I think he plays a year in the Jets, realizes, I don't really like it over here. I don't
have the media is going to get to
comforts that I comforts that I had in Green Bay. I got to learn all these people's names. I got to learn a whole new staff. And then he quits.
That's shocker.
It's more like... But you have this one-year window opportunity to try to win. Obviously, take it.
Yeah.
I understand where both teams come from in these negotiations, but get this done. Because Green Bay hasn't been able to make a single move. And the Jets have been waiting on their hands, pretty, you know, sitting on their hands. They're going to sign OBJ and all this. Like, you're doing all this for Aaron Rodgers. You don't have him yet.
And we'll get to OBJ later, just because I feel like I don't think the Jets need OBJ with the current wide receiver room. I really don't. It'd be better with OBJ, but with the money he's asking, I just don't think it's worth it. But we'll get to that a little later.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add for the Jets?
No.
We'll go over to the NFC East then. I think we got to start it off with the Philadelphia Eagles, who I think have had a tough offseason. I mean, he kind of predicted it, though. Because they weren't going to be able to pay everyone. A lot of people are on ending deals, and they lost a lot of guys. They lost Hargrave, Dillard, White, Edwards, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They were able to get back Slay. It was looking like he was going to be released. James Bradbury re-signed back. They needed a running back. You know, they lost Miles Sanders. They get Rashad Penny, who has had some injury problems in the past. You really don't know what you're getting from him, but I believe they re-signed Boston Scott as well to like a 1-year, 2-year deal. So the running back room besides Sanders still the same. They had Terrell Edmonds at safety. And they had some cap space to work with, but they got the 10th pick still. So I think the 10th pick for him is pretty huge in this offseason.
Yeah, from the Eagles' point of view, this has been a weird offseason. I think they had so many good draft picks last year. got Jordan Davis, who I'm not a huge fan of, but I'll admit he surprised me and looked better when he was on the field. N'Kobe Dean, guys like that, they were able to draft last year that didn't have huge impacts that are going to step in and replace some of these guys that left. And they have the 10, the 30, the 62, and 94. So they have four top 100 picks. They'll add some impact players in this draft as well. Let me start with the running back room. Losing Miles Sanders and gaining Rashad Penny could actually be a benefit because Rashad Penny might be better than him if he can stay healthy. Rashad Penny is on a one-year prove-it deal. So, I mean, it might not even be a prove-it deal. It's pretty much a minimum. I think it's $600,000 guaranteed. He could easily be cut. You know, he might not even make the roster. But Penny, Boston Scott, you know, again, assuming health, Penny healthy, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell is great. For as cheap as it is, it's great. Add in a guy like Trey Sermon, who maybe they like, maybe they don't, but he's there, and he's taken NFL snaps before. I think the running back room is fine. They could still go out and draft a guy. Like I said, Penny's incredibly cheap. They could still go draft a guy in day two, day three, and be perfectly okay. Defensively, like I said, I think they're going to have guys that they drafted last year, they're going to have to step up, and they're going to draft guys this year again. Four top 100 picks that are going to have to step up. This is going to be kind of a soft retool year. They're still going to be very good. Their offense is still going to be elite. Defense should still be very good. But they're not going to be Super Bowl level roster right away.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not. It's going to take them a little bit of time to get, you know, gelled again and figure some stuff out. But they still have the vets, the core guys, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, Jason Kelsey, offensive line still amazing. You know, Lane Johnson, those guys, they're going to lead this team and they're going to be fine. They're still my pick to win the East. They're still going to be a very good roster, but it's going to be a soft retool. They're going to have to gel again and guys are going to have to step up. But I think they've put themselves in a good spot. So even though they lost a lot of these key guys, they can replace that production with cheap rookies and ascending players.
Yeah, and honestly, I think Jalen Hurts, I think you know what you got with him now. I think that was the last year. It was, okay, so what do we have with Jalen Hurts with all these weapons? You kept that offensive core intact, and I think you're giving yourself, again, another shot at a deep playoff run. Like you said, they're probably not going to be the team they were last year, but that doesn't mean that they still can't make a run. So I think, like you said, they kind of – they drafted really well last year, and they kind of planned for this in advance. So I think you're right on this. Anything else you want to add for Philly?
No.
Yeah, Philly. I feel like they kind of – we've talked about Philly a lot with some of the losses, so I think it was good to highlight some of the gains there. We'll go second place in the division last year. Dallas Cowboys. The big headline for them in the offseason, they cut Zeke. It was rumored for a while. They officially cut him. I thought they made two good trades. You know, they trade for Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore, I think, is going to help that secondary. Brandon Cooks, a lot of people think it's kind of a lateral move to having Amari Cooper. I think you're getting him a little cheaper, and you realized if Dak Prescott – plays like he does, he needs more than just CeeDee Lamb. So I get that. They lost McGovern to the offensive line. They lost Schultz, who went to Houston. They lost Noah Brown in that receiver room. Biggest needs for them right now are the offensive line and linebacker core, I think, for this Dallas team.
Yeah, Dallas, I like the Gilmore pickup. I like Brandon Cooks. I think Cooks, Gallup, CeeDee Lamb is a really good wide receiver room. Dalton Schultz, I feel like, is going to learn very quickly that he needed the Cowboys more than the Cowboys needed him.
Yeah.
I think Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot can replace his production pretty easily and might even be better, to be honest. It all comes down to Dak.
Yeah.
I think this team has – I don't think they've gotten worse. I don't think they've gotten much better, to be honest, because I think – here's the thing, Tommy. I think at 26, if Bijan Robinson's there, Jerry Jones is going to cream his pants and take him. And again, any he's a phenomenal talent. Bijan's amazing. He's a top five player in this draft. He's a running back. It's a very replaceable position. Tony Pollard's amazing. Let him run the show. Malik Davis didn't look too bad. I think you can figure out the rest of this RB room for pretty cheap. But I think if Bijan's there at 26, they're going to take him. And it's going to be the same team. Same team. The offense is already good enough. If Dak Prescott plays good. And it all comes down to that. Because it's going to come down to the offensive play calling in Dak Prescott. If they show up in the playoffs, they will win. They will be successful. Because the defense can't get much better than it already is, to be honest with you. Defense is already top three in the league, probably. Top five, you know, minimum. So Dallas is in a great spot. They could. I would still take Philly to win the division because I think Jalen Hurts is much better than Dak Prescott. It comes down to Dak Prescott.
Yeah. And, you know, past 2 years, he hasn't been able to get the job done, and he has choked big time against the San Francisco 49ers both times. I mean, he, like you said, he doesn't get the job done. With this offensive line, I think it's aging. They have been able to replace some of the pieces. I think that they need to build up some offensive line through the draft. I get the Bijan Robinson pick for him just because, you know, they love running backs there in Dallas. He'll think, oh my God, I got that's the, yeah.
That's why
I got
he's
the next
there because
Smith or I got the next Zeke.
Because I think Jerry Jones is it's like, oh my God, replace Zeke. He went to Texas. He's another elite running back prospect, generational guy, who again, it's time to start thinking smarter. At 26, we could get an offensive guard. We could get a linebacker. We could move back, get a couple more seconds, add even more pieces. It's hard to take Bijan in the first and call that a winning pick. He's generational for sure. For sure. And Dallas is, again, one of the few teams that could afford that pick because I don't think they have too many holes on their roster. So I'm not going to say it'd be an F, right? I wouldn't give it an F.
Yeah.
Dallas, it'd be like a C pick. Now, if a team like, you know, Chicago at 9 took Bijan, that's an F. I don't care how generational he is. He's a running back. You can find production until, to me, an elite running back is the last piece you add to a roster. That's like, oh, we don't have anything else to spend this money on or spend this draft capital on. We'll go running back. That's where it's at for me. And it's not to say that I don't value running backs. I do. And a generational running back like Bijan can make an offense so much better. It's just they're so injury prone. The position is very demanding. They don't have a long shelf life. That's where we're at in the modern NFL with that position. But again, we both agree. We know how Jerry Jones likes to think. That's the pick he'll take. Again, not a bad pick for Dallas, but it's not the smart pick. And it's not a pick that's going to make much of a difference because, again, it comes down to Dak Prescott.
And like you said, I mean, you don't want to make the same mistake twice with Zeke. Because Zeke, he had phenomenal years in Dallas. He really did. But like you said, it's not going to hold up. His legs gave out. The only thing they're going to be missing from Zeke is maybe some power running a little bit and pass blocking. His best trait those past 2 years was pass blocking. That was it. So, like you said, it's not smart for them to go running back. I would go offensive lineman maybe on this one or maybe defensive line or linebacker. I just, like you said, if they take Bijan, there's way better ways you can utilize that pick. Bijan's great. Like we talked about last episode, he's great. Like you said, there's better options out there. Anything else you want to add for Dallas?
No, this, again, it pisses me off talking about Dallas because they're not a bad team. I hate the Cowboys. Most of America hates the Cowboys. It just is what it is. But they're delusional, Tommy. It's not that we don't think you're a good team. I have a lot of respect for the players on the Dallas Cowboys. They're very good defense. Offensively, they have all the pieces there. It's Dak Prescott, it's Mike McCarthy, and it's Jerry Jones. Those are the three pieces that are in your way.
I will say, we did forget to mention, Kellen Moore is gone, who was the play caller last year.
Yeah.
So I think, I didn't think he was that great of a play caller. I really didn't. I thought he ran some stupid plays. So I think it can only go up from here. I mean, Mike McCarthy, I think his floor is what Kellen Moore was. I really do. Which, if he can't get it done, though, this year, he's got to go. He's got to be on the hot seat.
I think he absolutely has to be on the hot seat. Because the scary thing is, Tommy, Dallas should win this division in a year that Philly's going to have to kind of retool, like we just said. But, again, I'm picking Philly. And the scary thing is, I mean, I know Dallas has been great these last couple regular seasons, but if Mike McCarthy is inept, which we think he is, and Brian Daboll is not inept, which I don't think he is, the Giants just had a really good season.
Well, we'll lead into the Giants with that. You know, they made a splash. They made probably the first or second big trade in free agency. They go out and get Darren Waller for this offense. Darren Waller, the time in Vegas came to an end. It looked like they both were ready to part ways. They need receiver help, though, still. I think that's the big takeaway. They had a lot of cap space. They have a lot of picks. They got three in the top 100 and then four in the top 150. They lost Julian Love, Feliciano, and Nick Gates, which I think that's going to hurt the offensive line a little bit. But I still think there's pieces there to the offensive line. They had Bobby McCain as well. I will say they kind of had a quiet offseason so far as well as some of the other East teams. But I think this is another team that could go out and get DeAndre Hopkins. I think this would be great for New York. I don't think Hopkins would want to play in New York with Daniel Jones, but
it's the only reason I'm laughing is because I'm thinking about the guys they have signed. And if you think about every receiver they've signed, they're all slot guys. Every single one of them is a slot receiver. They haven't added a guy that can play on the outside. None of their receivers at this point can play on the outside. They are all slot guys outside of Darren Waller, who's a tight end. Know what they're doing. I didn't know what they were doing last year, and they kept proving me wrong every time, every week in picks. I'm glad you brought up Feliciano and Gates. It is going to hurt their offensive line. I think they're going to have to retool that. I think Julian Love is kind of a loss as well, but they added Bobby McCain, so maybe you can replace him a little bit. Still a ton of cap space. I see that you still have quarterback as a need on here.
that was just I wanted to throw that in there. I mean, you never know. You never know. I'm not sold on him yet. I get that he had a really the team had a good season, but he did not have that great of a season.
I think they need to figure out the Saquon thing. Don't let him play on the tag. Give him a 2-3 year deal, whatever. Get that out of the way. It's a 2-year prove it deal for Daniel Jones. And it still keeps the cap space pretty fluid. I think it was only a $19 million cap hit this year. So that was good. And weapons. Outside receivers, not a bunch of slot guys. That is, like, necessary. I like Wandell Robinson. Bringing back Sterling Shepard, I don't get because I think he's shot. Many injuries, I think it's over for him. Getting Darren Waller is great. I like Dan Bellinger as well, so I think they'll run some two tight end sets. They got to get an X. I think they should draft a running back as well just to kind of prepare for life after Saquon and also add a running mate. I know they like Matt Breida, but you can get a better two than Matt Breida. And then offensive line and wide receivers. Like, that's like just keep adding, but add guys that aren't slot wide receivers. You know, let's add a DeAndre Hopkins. Let's go out. Let's draft A.T. Perry in the 4th, 5th round, wherever he's going to go. Let's get some bigger body guys in here that can play the X. But I'm buying into Brian Daboll. I'm buying into big guys in New York, you know. He seems to have that city. He seems to have that team. And I'm done questioning it. He's going to figure it out.
Did you see him in the coach's picture? I don't know if you saw that trending on.
Did.
Someone goes, man, he looks like a meatball right now. Yeah, I mean, he looked like straight out of York. I will say that. It was very funny. Yeah, they need receivers. And if, you know, the offensive line did take a hit, and if you're going to run this offense through Saquon, that is important to replace that because Saquon does have the injury history and he's on the franchise tag now. I never thought about them drafting a running back this round for life after Saquon because I always, honestly, I thought they were going to get a deal done. I thought that was the guy they were going to try to get a deal done with since, you know, he is the reason why that offense was great. Let's be real.
Yeah.
It was not Daniel Jones. It was prime. I mean, he had flashes. I'll admit that, but it was still because of Saquon Barkley. I think the defense will be around the same. I still think you're going to see a lot of games like last year where it's going to be tight games all the way through, and they're going to get that break down the stretch. I just think that's how it's going to go for them. And like you said, they need an X receiver really bad, and they might draft one if they don't get Hopkins. Anything else you want to add for the Giants?
No.
Well, we'll go last team of the day. The Washington Commanders, they might be sold soon. $6 billion is what it's looking like. But they need a lot. They need a quarterback, they need corners, and they need linebackers. They signed.
Tommy, I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off. I don't care what they added or lost. I'm going to be honest. I don't. I don't. Ron Rivera said it's what, his fourth year on the job, I think, third or fourth year.
Something like that, yeah.
He said this is the first season we're able to roster build.
I don't know about that.
3 years into your tenure, you're just now roster building? You're just now adding guys that you want? Sir, this is not college football.
These guys?
You don't have to wait for these guys to lose eligibility. I mean, I guess unless you're Deion Sanders, then you can just kick them all out. But
That's true.
You don't have to wait for these guys to lose eligibility to replace them. You're in the NFL. These guys are under contracts. You can move those contracts. You can terminate them. So I don't understand the we're now roster building. Ron Rivera, my brother in Christ, do you understand you've only had a couple winning seasons in the NFL and you had Cam Newton? So when you say we might take a quarterback at 16, who are you referring to? Are you going to trade up and get Anthony Richardson? Because that seems to be the type of quarterback you have success with. Are you going to take Will Levis? No, I don't think so. You're not going to get a quarterback at 16. What you're going to do, Ron, I hope you're listening. Look at me in the eyes, Ron. What you're going to do is you're going to start Jacoby Brissett if you care about winning. You shouldn't, so throw that idea out the window. You should start Sam Howell, figure out what you have. If he's any good, you might get lucky and keep your job for another season. More likely than not, he's probably mediocre, although I do like Sam Howell. I like him as a prospect. More likely than not, he's just a little bit better than Taylor Heinicke. You lose your job. The team gets sold. And Washington fans can maybe get a regime in there that can build an actual football team. Terry McLaurin's career, wasted. Jahan Dotson's career, on the way to being wasted. Antonio Gibson got replaced by 50 Cent. I mean Brian Robinson, who was a Jag. Offensive line, wasted. You lost Trent Williams and Brandon Sheriff, who were some of the best players at their position in the last 10, 15 years, for no reason, because you sucked ass. I'm gonna excuse the profanity, but that's just what it is.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Defensively, We've talked about this the last two seasons, Tommy. Every time we talk about Washington, I say, well, this defensive line is legit. Defensive line is great. One of the best front sevens in the NFL. Where is it at? Where? Donde Está defense. Where is it?
I don't know. I've been asking that for years.
Corners should be better than they are. Front seven should be much better than it is. Maybe with, you know, some health, they'll get there now. Linebackers, I don't know what's going on. So This is it's I'm so tired of it. Pick a direction. Either go in on winning or tank. Or tank. I'm just asking you to be consistent. Because the team is about to get sold, and that's the best thing that can happen. That's the best thing that can happen to this team is it being sold. Because then they might actually get a chance to have an owner that cares about the team, hires good coaches, hires good GMs. Because right now, it's the same dumpster fire for yet another season.
Listen, they're setting up for Lamar Jackson. That's what it is.
I hope so.
Lamar is going to Washington. But, man, it's just – I can't believe Ron Rivera said that. I didn't know he said that about he can finally start looking – here building a roster. That's actually crazy. I mean, Ron Rivera seemed like a couple screws were loose last season. I think all the screws are loose now.
And it again, I think Sam Howell is fine. Figure out what you have with him. But was there even ever a point in this rebuild where you were like, oh, snap, they might be starting to come out of this? No, there wasn't. Since Ron Rivera has taken over, really think about his tenure. When at any point was Washington coming into the season and people were like, that's a sneak sleeper team right there. You know, they're a piece or two away from being – you never, never. No one's ever said never. That. In the last 10 years, that hasn't happened.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's
the last time Washington looked like they were on the up and up, they had Kirk Cousins and RG3.
And we're talking, what, how many years ago now?
A lot.
7, 6, 8? I mean –
not better than the Giants because the coaching staff on the Giants is much better. You're not better than Dallas, clearly. And you're not better than Philly. Again, this team is not – I say they're a dumpster fire because they just keep going 8-9. It's
– they're in purgatory every year.
Yes. It's time to bottom out or actually get a cohesive plan that will lead us to contention because right now we don't have one. And where do I say, Tommy, I say it all the time, where's the worst place to be in the NFL?
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. And that's exactly where Washington is. Good enough defense to keep them in the games. Somehow they piece together an offense that's explosive enough to make comebacks. And neither of those things is good enough to win. So pick a plan, either actually start contending, getting very good players, or rebuild. I'm tired of you being 8-9. It's sickening. It's disgusting. It's almost as disgusting as your owner.
That's pretty disgusting.
That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. I think that's we hit everything we needed to for Washington. We'll go on to some of the rumors, and it's our favorite segment. It's the Lamar saga. We found out, I think, since our last episode, he requested a trade. And I will say, he did not go public with it. He waited. Which I think is very classy. You know what I mean? He wasn't like, oh, I just requested a trade. You know what I mean? He tried. But they're saying it's the Colts now. Is that the number one?
Apparently.
I don't know anymore. I'm kind of lost right now with this whole debacle.
If he had an agent, there'd be more pressure on the organization, but I think he's doing just fine by himself, playing the social media game, telling his own narrative. I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
I just want him to be happy, man. And apparently he doesn't want a fully guaranteed deal. He only wants the guaranteed portion to be more than Deshaun Watson, which makes it even worse, to be honest, because Deshaun Watson got, what, $250 million guaranteed? So what he's saying is, I only want $251 million fully guaranteed, but I don't want a fully guaranteed contract.
that doesn't help.
I think you should take a Kyler Murray-type deal if he can get one, I'm going to be honest. I think that's fair. Again, I don't blame Lamar. This is setting up for something much bigger than just his contract discussion. This is for players in the future of fully guaranteed contracts. So I understand why he's making the stance that he is. But Baltimore, let's be real here. You saw Tyler Huntley play. I saw Tyler Huntley play. If I think Tyler Huntley's bad, and I know nothing about football, nothing. I don't claim to know anything. I know nothing when it comes to actually running a team, being a coach, the X's and O's, what it takes to play quarterback or any position in the NFL. I know nothing. But I know that Tyler Huntley stunk. I could smell him when I was watching. I was very smelly, very, very smelly.
Very stinky.
So if I know that, I know you know that. And what are we going to do? Trade Lamar for the three or for the four? Take Anthony Richardson? Then guess who we're hoping he turns out to be like? Lamar. Seems pretty. Are we going to trade him to San Francisco for Trey Lance? Who are we hoping Trey Lance turns out to be like? Lamar. It seems pretty obvious to me who we want and who the offense
That's
needs.
Lamar.
Yeah. If he goes to the Colts, congrats. You got two first-round picks. You're going to be bad. You're going to hope to get the next Lamar Jackson or whoever. Just pay the man. Just pay the man.
They need Lamar. They really do.
And if teams wait until after the draft, they only have to give up the 24 and 25. They can still take their 23 pick. So a team like Atlanta might, after the draft, they got to take the 8th pick, and then they might be in on Lamar. And to me, if you're Baltimore, you need to get this wrapped up before the draft, because after the draft, teams that said they were out on him and didn't want to pay him might want to start
paying
him.
They're going to be in
him. Yeah. So you got about a month left, I would say, before the market starts to heat up for Lamar Jackson. I don't know why we have to talk about this every week. I mean, Lamar is, his stance is for all the players, and he's trying to do what's best for the NFL players. So I'm not gonna crap on that. So that's fine. But it's time to compromise and get a contract going if you're Baltimore.
Let's get this done. Pay the man, please. Pay him something.
We'll
chip in if we need to. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Odell Beckham to the Jets. It's been hinted just as much as been hinted about Aaron Rodgers getting traded there. I don't know. I said earlier, I don't think they need him. What do you feel about this?
I don't think OBJ is ever going to be a one again. But I think if he's healthy, like people say he's healthy, he's probably better than a lot of other wide receiver twos. And he would be the wide receiver two. You wouldn't – I mean, it's Garrett Wilson's wide receiver, yeah. Let's be real. And he's better than Alan Lazard and I almost said Elijah Moore. Mecole Hardman. Elijah Moore got traded. If Aaron Rodgers wants him, get him, I guess. But, like you said, I don't think they need him. But I think he's fine. I don't think it's like so much of a luxury that it's like dumb to sign him. I think it's fine if you sign him. But I'm tired of that too. And people say OBJ has offers on the table. He's just waiting for what happens with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that's true. But I'm still not really buying that. Just like we went through the whole thing at the end of last season and he wasn't even going to play. But apparently he had offers on the table. Like, OBJ, you were still good enough to be in the NFL. No one's saying you're not. You're going to get signed. I don't want to hear about you every 5 minutes. I don't. You haven't been healthy for a full season in a while. Now, again, that's not to say he didn't play very well with the Rams, because he did. It's just another injury to the knee, another year older.
Year out of football.
We're a long way away from the catch, okay? So let's stop acting like OBJ is his premier name in the NFL. He's a very good receiver with potential if he stays healthy. That's where it's at.
And I believe there were reports coming out he wants $20 million. If you're the Jets, I wouldn't put that $20 million into him. I would go out and try to get other pieces, because you're going to need those pieces more than you're going to need OBJ in that point. That's how I just feel about that.
No, I agree.
I'll let you talk about pro days. If you haven't seen Anthony Richardson, who, great athlete, everyone knew that, pretty raw at QB, he threw a 74-yard bomb at his pro day. And everyone's like, oh, he's number one pick now. Do you want to take it away, Jordan?
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I saw this stat on Twitter, and I would consider myself an Anthony Richardson connoisseur because I'm picking at 2 and 3 in our rookie draft in the Dynasty League. So I've done a lot of research on him as a player, getting prepared because I want to, you know, I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to take him in the Dynasty fantasy draft. What do you think for a college quarterback is a good completion percentage behind the line of scrimmage for like check downs and screen passes, things of that nature? What do you, you know, what do you think?
I'd
you
say it's pretty high if it's behind.
Yeah, like, you know, give me a number.
I don't know. I feel like maybe 80%. Because are they counting like throwaways too?
No, just passes behind the line of scrimmage. 80%?
Yeah, around there.
Okay, so I'll tell you. C.J. Stroud completed 82% behind the line of scrimmage. Okay. Bryce Young completed 75%. Okay. Will Levis completed 74.6, so 75%. All right. Do you want to take a guess what Anthony Richardson completed?
I'm going like 64, 60.
I wish. 58%. The line, checkdowns, screen passes. Short, that's 0 to 9 yards, 45%. Medium, 10 to 19 yards, 43%. Deep passes, 34.4. Will Levis on deep passes, 26.5. I bring all this up not to – we knew he was raw, okay? He only has 13 games started. We know accuracy and touch and mechanics. That's all stuff he's got to clean up and work on. Very few people, Tommy, have been able to go into the NFL as raw as Anthony Richardson and figure it out and work on their mechanics and become very serviceable quarterbacks. And it's different for him because, like we said, he's an athletic freak. He's the closest thing we've seen to Cam Newton since Cam Newton. He doesn't have to complete 70% of his passes. If he can get to 62% with a lowish interception rate, he's going to be fantastic. He's going to be fantastic because he's that much of a cheat code with his legs and his athleticism that he doesn't have to beat Drew Brees. But the accuracy issues are a real concern. 58% behind the line of scrimmage is atrocious. You can't put it any other way. It's terrible. And he's extremely raw. And the only quarterback in the recent, you know, years that has done it is Josh Allen. And now we're using Josh Allen as an excuse for the Will Levis's and Anthony Richardson's of the world. Again, I like Anthony Richardson. And I think Steve Smith said it best. He's an investment. You don't want to be the team that passed up on the next Amazon, right? Or the next Tesla. That's why I get that. But let's be realistic here. The underwear Olympics, the combine, doesn't matter. You see, as a scout, what you're doing at the combine is confirming what you saw on the field and in tape. I saw JSN was an elite route runner. I saw that he was really good against zone coverages. I saw that he was very agile. That got confirmed at the combine. Okay? The things that you see with your eyeballs get confirmed with the numbers at the combine, with the testing. I knew that Anthony Richardson had a hell of an arm. I knew he had a rocket. I knew he was athletic. I knew he could do a backflip because he showed me at the combine. I'm not shocked that he can hit the ceiling, which, again, that's not a positive thing, by the way. it's not a good thing. Will Levis hit the ceiling as well. Yeah. So pro days are just like the underwear Olympics. I'm just trying to confirm things that I saw on tape. He confirmed everything I saw on tape, but he has no pads on, so he has free arm mobility, free range of motion. There's no pressure. There's no actual defense being played at all. So what I would hope, this is like a basketball player, right? I would hope a pro basketball player in an empty gym could hit like 75% of their threes, right? It's shocking to normal people. So me watching Anthony Richardson throw a 75-yard bomb, it wows me. I can't throw a football more than maybe like 15 yards. And that's, you know, if I really put my whole arm, like accurately, right? That's why it shocks us, Tommy. It shocks normal people to see that.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing him to me and you. If me and you were in the combine against Anthony Richardson,
there'd be problems.
Yeah, he would look like the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm not comparing him to. I would hope Patrick Mahomes could run the drills that Anthony Richardson ran.
I'm sure now with Patrick Mahomes in a pro day, he'd probably throw for an 80-yard throw, guaranteed.
Even Jimmy Garoppolo, you know what I like?
Yeah.
These pro days, combine, it's all worthless unless you're really a scout. It's all to just drive up hype and drive up excitement. So I get it from an average spectator. That's why I watch it. And it's not like I'm anti-pro day or combine. I love it. I love looking at 40 times, and I love being hyped and doing all that. I love all that. But I'm saying from an actual football perspective, it shows us nothing. Yeah. It means nothing. It means nothing. So that's where I'm at with pro days and combines. And the news coming out of his pro day was he's killing his interviews. That's great. I'm glad he's a talented young guy. I'm glad he's got good character. And that he might go one-on-one. And I'm all for him getting the bag. I just need people to understand, don't be shocked if he has to start the first year and he looks awful. Because these things showed up on tape that he wasn't very good at playing quarterback right now. He's an investment. He's not a sure thing. If you want the guy that's going to look the most pro-ready the first year, it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. So that's just where I'm at on pro days, man. They just don't mean a whole lot.
And you've been saying that for, honestly, since I've known you, for like 3 or 4 years now. So
yeah,
it
doesn't mean a whole lot.
It like you said, they're not in pads, they're not doing anything. They're meant to these drills too, the throw, he's backing up like 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
And you know what's hilarious is I saw on Twitter after his pro day was done, someone was like, Justin Fields is reinventing the NFL and you see these quarterbacks doing these rollout drills and throwing across their body. No, Justin Fields didn't invent the bootleg. That's a concept. It's called a bootleg. That's what they ran a lot with Justin Fields. You know why? Because the offensive line was atrocious, and he had no pocket to step up into. That's why you run bootlegs, to roll the pocket and give your quarterback time to throw the ball. There you go. There's your NFL lesson today with me, someone who's never played at any type of level. There you go. Okay. You know what I'm not going to do at the pro day? Here, Anthony Richardson, I want you to pretend you're Justin Fields. There's no one on the field, but I just want you to run as fast as you can. I want you to roll out, see that no one's open, and I just want you to run. Just run as fast as you can. Just run.
Run that spider 2-wide banana. And if it's not there, roll all the way up. That's what I want, Anthony.
Yeah, but I don't want to see you use your arm or do anything that a quarterback's supposed to do. Just run.
Right? You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's just crazy. It really is. go be Justin Fields. I know that there's no defense, no offensive line. Just try that for me.
That's like it's just crazy. Like it. It makes people dislike Anthony Richardson's and Will Levis's of the world because you're just like, well, these guys are just, of course.
Yeah.
It just confirms what I saw on tape, Tommy. Again, I'm not a scout. I know nothing about football. So I'm not claiming that I think Anthony Richardson's going to be good or bad. I don't claim to know if any player is going to be good or bad because I don't know. I think he can do pretty good. He has all the tools to be pretty good. But it's like, it's the same thing with Zach Wilson.
We Zach saw Wilson the exact was, same thing.
Here's the thing, though. Zach Wilson was very elite graded. He was one of the highest graded quarterbacks by PFF. He put a lot of good things on tape against weaker competition, sure. But he's a very good quarterback in college. I'll give him that. And then he went to the pro day, confirmed the things they saw on tape, confirmed that he had a great arm. He was great off platform. Got drafted. Was really bad. You know who hasn't really done any of that? Anthony Richardson. He hasn't put together consistent tape. He's been fine. He's been this athletic. He's weapon grade plutonium. Okay, that's what he is. he is bound to blow. And when he does, it can create a massive amount of damage. But that is a double-edged sword. He can do that, and it can win you a war, or it can burn you. And you're going to set your franchise back 5-6 years.
At least.
At least, if you miss on this pick. But he's an investment, man. And pro days and combines, I didn't need all that to see that, right?
Yeah.
No one needed that.
I mean, I had nothing else to say about pro days.
Yeah.
I mean, they're useless, but they're there to generate hype and money. I think I got nothing else for today. Anything else you got?
No. We're done with teams.
We got one more division. We never did the AFC South.
We only did
the NFC South. So we got one division.
All right.
Then we're done. Okay. We'll probably, right. Maybe next episode we'll just do a short episode, or we'll connect it in with more rumors, something like that.
Yeah.
But we got through the East today, and I thought it was a good episode. You know, we talk about every team in the East, see where they're at. I think this has been a good offseason so far, though, I will say.
We got another week. We do the South and more rumors, and then it is going to be mock draft season for those next episodes.
Yeah, we'll do some mock drafts. How many rounds you want to get, or how many picks you want to go with these mock drafts?
Just to you know, well, if we do two, you know, we can do the first 16, and we can do the last 16.
Okay. All right, that works for me. I think that'd be good. But that's gonna do it for us today. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Armchair GMs. We hope you guys enjoyed, and we will see you guys next time.
Peace.